Darryl Braithwaite and the horses. 24 past six, just getting word, a truck stuck under a bridge, Logan Road outbound at Buranda. Closest street there, Martin Street. More details shortly on that. Whether that's impacting on trains or not, we'll tell you very soon. The world's first movie, written, directed, produced and edited by a man who's legally blind, has been produced right here in southeast Queensland. The filmmaker, known only as Gough, as in Gough Whitlam, is with me on the phone. Morning, Gough.
How are you, Spencer?
I'm very well, thank you. How much can you see?
I've got no vision in my right eye and just very little in my left, so I do have very limited vision, but it's bad enough for me to be known as legally blind.
And so. Have you always been this way? Were you born this way?
No, I got sick when I was about 12 weeks old. I had some brain hemorrhaging, and that of course, affected my eyesight.
Have you always wanted to make movies?
Yeah, pretty much. Ever since I was a young fella, I was always, you know, writing stories and writing scripts and that sort of thing. And so, I've always had an interest in storytelling, and of course, that just spilled over into filmmaking. I really enjoy movies and film and TV and all that sort of stuff.
So how was the process for you then? I mean, I mentioned that you wrote, directed, produced, edited. Presumably you didn't get behind the camera as well.
Yes, I did. Yes, no, I did. It was just me and my camera and microphone and that I've got. So obviously some of the shots aren't framed as possibly well as what they could have been, but everybody is on camera, so it does work. But it was editing, actually, that I found to be the most difficult, because I couldn't see the viewing window, so I just had to edit by audio. So it was a kind of, I guess you could appreciate, Spencer, it was kind of like a 90-minute radio play for me, pretty much. So,
yes.
Yeah, so it's not that easy to edit something like that. It took a fair bit of concentration.
You really have to, in so many aspects of life, trust other people, I imagine. You know, when you get a haircut, new glasses or a shirt or whatnot, you'd often be asking people, you know, does this look all right on me? And you have to trust them when they say, yep, that's fine. I imagine there's a bit of that as well. Was that, did you show the film to anyone and say, look, be honest, tell me whether it's bad, or did you just have the confidence with the film to just put it out and say, right, here's my film?
Yeah, I pretty much just had the confidence. I knew what I wanted to produce, I knew what I wanted to make, so and I knew the sort of messages I wanted to get across. So I just went ahead, I just did it, and then I do have enough vision that I burnt it onto a DVD. I was able to watch it on the TV, fix up any mistakes that I could see, and then go and I did that process about four or five times myself. I did play it to one or two mates just to get their feedback, but they all seemed to enjoy it. So I thought, well, I'll just do it how it is. So I didn't really make any final changes.
It's a doc. It's called I Will Not Go Quietly. It's a doco about your life. What other films do you want to make now that you've done number one?
Well, I've got a few other projects, not documentaries, feature films, and a few other TV ideas that I've got written, and I'm trying to get funding for and floating around.
Do you see yourself as something of a role model for people with disabilities, showing what can be done, rather than, I suppose, sometimes people, maybe as much as anything, a role model for the wider community, concentrating on what you can achieve rather than what you can't?
I don't necessarily think a role model, just mainly, hopefully, well, maybe, I don't know, I don't really see myself in that way, but I do agree, hopefully it does show that even with a disability, you can go out there and you can do whatever you want to do and achieve whatever you want to achieve. I do hope that is one of the main messages that the documentary shows.
You do stand-up comedy as well. What do you base your stand-up material on?
Oh, I used to do stand-up. I haven't done it for a little while now. I've been concentrating more on my production company, BNUTS Productions. So, I haven't done stand-up for a while. But when I did do stand-up, I enjoyed the more two-line zinger kind of stuff. You know, just the quick one-liners. That's always been the stuff that used to make me laugh a lot. So that's the stuff I used to bust out on stage.
Sounds like you have there's a little bit of passion there for that still. I can tell the way you're talking about it. Might we hear of you returning to the stand-up stage in the future?
I wouldn't have thought so, mate.
No?
I wouldn't have thought so. I did enjoy it, but
yeah.
It's just there's a lot of politics and a lot of behind the scenes sort of stuff that goes on there. And to be honest, I and also the main problem was that the money isn't fantastic, and of course there's a lot of travelling involved, and like you said earlier, you have to trust and rely on people, and some comics, you know, there's a lot of jealousy and competition, so I wasn't able to get lifts to gigs, and I had to get taxis and buses and trains, and, you know, at 1 a.m, it's not that easy sometimes, because that's when gigs sometimes finish.
Well, so. It sounds like you might have another film there in the making, something about the, you know, expose the world of stand-up comedy. I've got to run to the news, but beernutsproductions.com is the website, and that's where you can watch Gough's film, I Will Not Go Quietly. Thanks for telling us about it, and congratulations.
Thank you. Beer Nuts Productions. Everybody go along. Thank
Bye.
You. Hi, I'm Rhianna Patrick from Speaking Out. Listen up for Speaking Out, the ABC's Indigenous news and lifestyle program. That's Speaking Out, Sunday nights from 9:30 on 612 ABC Brisbane.